What's up, fucker?
What's up, fucker?
Oh, not much. Podcasting with my friend Avery. Can you believe that?
Same.
You're also podcasting with your friend Avery?
Yep, and Jake.
I guess you always are with your friend Avery.
I'm with a couple of them. No, I'm not. There's history of schizophrenia in my family, but I didn't. I didn't.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Are you sure about that?
I think I am. They tested me. Okay.
Did they ask you how many of you there are? Because you just failed my schizophrenia test.
they're like, "Hey, Avery," and I said, "Yes, yes, yes."
We're right here. What do you want?
No, not the royal we. There's a bunch of us.
Well, anyway, I'm excited because we're at the end of season one. Could you believe it?
Yeah, we did it. And it's so fucking weird.
This is the weirdest thing ever. This is like kind of not a great episode. It's so bizarre that it's the finale of the first season. I think what's happening is that when you make like a TV show, like when you listen to the people who made this, sometimes they'll say like, "Oh, the first season, we didn't think anyone was watching it. There was no stakes."
Well, it feels very piecemeal. It feels like there's so many different writers on the first season, and I don't think that they've made like a cohesive style yet. You can tell that every episode is like individually written.
Yeah.
But because they've all got their own styles and they're all freaky as hell.
Yeah, especially this one. The title. Right. That's fucking intense.
Plastic white female.
I've never seen Single White Female. Have you?
No.
But I know what it's about. It's like a
common What is it
trope.
About? I don't.
It's like a fucking, it's a schizophrenic person like you. It's about a stalker. No, Murray. Oh, I'm going to kill you. Oh, my cat.
Murray!
I think from what I gather, it's about like a stalker that like is like, I'm going to, you know, kind of kill the person I'm stalking and become them is like the deal. Because people use that term. So, oh, you're getting single white femaled or whatever. If like you have a fan who's too
like you're getting Rochambeau'd.
Is that what that means?
No.
Well, all right then.
just a name for a thing that was someone's name.
Yeah, gotcha.
Gotcha. So, okay. No, Rochambeau does not mean getting single white female. All right. It starts out pretty funny.
Yeah, it starts out
some
with
real
Bobby.
Classic Texas shit, but I think children do this all over the world.
Yeah, this definitely feels like growing up in Texas. It's Bobby and Joseph, and they're on like one of those walkways over a highway thing.
Uh-huh.
And they're doing like Star Trek shit at each other and talking
and spitting
about
on cars.
Yeah, it's like incoming. They spit on a car. Yeah.
But there's like so much dense highway infrastructure in Texas, especially like in this area. Like that's where you have to hang out. Like to get to the park, you have to cross a highway. So you have to go over a pedestrian bridge to go over this big fucking highway, you know?
Absolutely. I never think about this, or I only started thinking about this recently when I've become an adult and met other people that maybe grew up elsewhere or learned about like what the world used to be like, but it's very weird. When I was growing up, you just walk around for like your entire childhood. You just go, "What am I going to do today? I guess I'm going to go like walk around a parking lot
leave.
Or something." They're supposed to be like,
yeah, you just leave your house,
but there's nowhere to like actually
go. No,
like,
the point is like, okay, I'm going to leave now. And then you just go.
Yeah, and like there's no like parks and shit like they're supposed to be really for most people that live in most places. There's just like, let's go to the overpass and like
yeah,
choke not, each like, other until you get high or whatever.
And fucking children's museums and like any infrastructure for families or anything. It's just all highway infrastructure. And that's what you have to play on. Ditches and bridges.
Yeah.
Because I spent most of my childhood in a ditch.
I spent a lot of my childhood in a bayou because I grew up in East Texas. But also behind a gas station was real big for me. Like skateboarding and shit or just like generally doing bad stuff. Pat Dean and
his brother. What?
Or just generally like doing bad things.
Just hanging out at a store, loitering.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love to loiter.
That's
one of my favorite fucking things is to hang out in front of a place.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Stand there, man. Pat Dean and his brother Kevin Dean used to hang out at a 7-Eleven that they called Old Dominion 7-Eleven or OD Sevs.
That sounds like some shit he would say.
Yeah, it's just like they were talking about it like in this code. Like, yeah, man, I mean, back at OD Sevs. And I was like, what does that mean? And as they explained it to me, I was like, you mean a 7-Eleven on Old Dominion Road? I love that. I love how that names evolve over time.
Me too. So they're like hanging out on this overpass thing and they're talking about Joseph's upcoming tween birthday party. It's like
he's having a party with boys and girls.
Yeah, huge event for a tween of that era is the first time you're like going to have mixed company or whatever, right?
Yeah, spin the mixed company.
Oh, wait, that's not what that means.
Spin the bottle.
The first time they're going to allow Jewish people to hang out with a mixed company. That's what that used to mean, right?
Yeah, that's why I laughed. I was like, I don't think that's what that means.
Fair. Okay. Boys and girls.
Yeah, boys. Let's just say boys and girls at the party together.
So next shot. I think the fucking intro thing happens. And then Luann.
Well, they do this disgusting. The first joke is really gross because it's not really like funny how he's explaining the party. And he's like, yeah, maybe I'm even going to kiss a girl. And Joseph hawks a huge loogie over the bridge. And Bobby has already hawked one, but he just swallows it.
That's so gross.
Yeah, I just had to mention that.
Oh, Pamela Adlon, you are disgusting. I think disgusting. I blocked that out.
She goes, nope. All right, now it's Luann.
Yeah, now Luann is at beauty school, and she is, her teacher is talking about some sort of important chemical relax accident. They've never showed her actual class at beauty school before, but now we're like to understand that there's a really strict teacher and there's like she's got kind of like a delinquent student thing going on. And there's like a nerd kid that upstages her.
Yeah, there's a star student and she gets picked on by the teacher.
Yeah. This episode, by the way, was written by Dave Zuckerman and directed by Jeff Myers. And
yeah, Dave Zuckerman is the Family Guy guy.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, he created Family Guy with Seth MacFarlane.
Oh,
and he is. Yeah, isn't that funny? And he also, I looked into his earlier career, and he started on fucking Fresh Prince.
Wow, damn! You used to be able to
that
have
was his
career.
First writing gig was Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
That's. That's
and
quite
then
a
his
career.
Crowning achievement was Wilford.
Wilford? That weird show with the
that weird dog show.
It wasn't very good. I tried to watch it.
Yeah, was it? Was that Elijah Wood?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
That was one of the ones early Netflix streaming would push on real hard on you. And
it was on FX, remember?
Yeah. Damn. All
very
right.
FX show.
For real FX vibes.
For real?
Nice.
The dog.
What happens next? Bobby and Connie are helping Luann with her beauty school like exam thing, because there's practical, an exam coming up.
Yeah, she's like practicing on Connie with one of those terrible, terrible. Have you ever done this? It's one of those head caps that you pull the hair through to do highlights.
Have I ever done this? Are you kidding me?
Well, I just thought maybe like in a nu metal phase or.
I'm gonna do something. It now.
Maybe I'm in a new like metal phase now. Or something, you got frosted tips. I don't fucking know, Jake. I didn't know you back then.
I did shit like that when I was a kid, but I never had the wherewithal to.
You never use did it a, with a cap.
I didn't even know that existed.
Yeah, well, it's like, it just doesn't seem right. Cause, like, how do you know which hair you're pulling through?
I thought she was just wearing a weird helmet.
Oh, like a Slipknot mask?
Yeah, that's what it looked like.
Yeah, it kind of does look like just like sick tentacles.
The helmet with the dreadlocks like on it.
Yeah, sewn in, but they're just like rubber tubes. But yeah, she takes the cap off and the highlights come out. The dyed hair stays attached to the cap. That's what happens. That's why she doesn't have any highlights when she takes it off, because she burned her hair off.
Oh.
With the bleach. So when she pulls the cap off and all the blonde strands go away, it's because she pulled it out of her head.
Damn. Okay. That's an intricate joke.
I knew you weren't going to get that part. And so I had to tell you about it as a person who's dyed my hair like 5 bajillion times. She pulled all of that hair out of Connie's head.
Wow. That's fucked up.
Yeah. It's really fucked up.
That did go over my head. Yeah,
Luann's not good at this.
Right. I forgot when the teacher was like, what's the worst part of this chemical relax accident story? And the nerd kid like has this intricate answer. Luann goes, it didn't look good. Which I don't think, actually, I think it's a perfectly reasonable answer in beauty school,
well, that's
right?
Kind of the, I think that's kind of like the through line of the, of Luann's part of this episode, is that like she's like a genuine hairdresser. Like she wants to take care of people and make them feel good. And like, at, you know, throughout this, like in this hoity toity school or whatever, or however fancy a beauty school in Arlen can be, you know, it's like she just gets ridiculed, but she's actually the genuine barber.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's kind of like a Goodwill Hunting or something sort of situation. She's just believes in that beauty is art.
Yeah, she's the kind barber savant that's not good at it.
So at one point, because she's practicing for the upcoming exam, she offers Hank a new look, and Hank goes, why would I do that? You don't mess with success.
Yeah. This is also the one when Hank comes in right before she offers it. He goes, bills, bills, bills. Why do we keep getting bills mail?
Oh, that's so stupid.
But it's like a perfect back-to-back. I wrote this down. I said that they should have had a laugh track there. Because Luann goes, well, beauty isn't something you're supposed to learn in school. It's not like gym class or study hall. And then Hank comes in with the bills, bills, bills line. And it just seems like a moment where an audience would be like, yeah.
Right, right. It's our favorite character Hank walking on. Like Married with Children.
Yeah, they're like, woo.
Oh man, that show was
yeah
so
he
funny.
Said you don't mess with success.
And then he changes his mind because he goes, you know what, it has been almost a week since my last haircut. It's very funny.
Yeah,
he gets his haircut every week.
Well, he's more. Like then Luann says, well, have you considered getting it dyed? And he says, men don't do that. And she's like, well, Ronald Reagan did. And he says the funniest. Do you have it written down?
Yeah, he says
it. You do a better Hank. You do it.
If he did that, it was only to show his strength to the communists.
Yeah, but he calls him Ron Reagan. If Ron Reagan did that, it was just to show his strength to the communists by dyeing his hair.
Yeah. I guess, like, to show he wasn't going gray or something.
Yeah, because he's a tough young buck. Yeah.
He also, Hank is walking around the house at one point, and Peggy, he just comes upon Peggy, and she just has, like, troll doll hair.
If I said she looks like the Heat Miser.
Yeah, she totally does.
It took me, I watched it twice today, and it took me to review it, and the second watch is when I figured out what it was. I was like, God, she looks like somebody. And right. I thought troll doll, but it's the way that the hair flares out at the top. It makes almost like a tulip bell kind of shape.
Yeah.
And that's very indicative of the Heat Miser. That's what his hair looked like. Because the trolls, that's just straight out.
That is true. You nailed it. It's exactly the Heat Miser.
If I know one thing, it's cartoons.
Also, Heat Miser. Wow, is that an outdated name for a character? Yikes.
Oh, oops.
You can't call someone a miser anymore. Okay, so he notices that she's got the Heat Miser hair, and he's like, oh, okay, she's been practicing on you. Peggy suggests that maybe he should let her practice on his hair, and he says, my hair is our livelihood. The advantages of propane don't always sell themselves.
People are coming in and going like, damn.
That's the merchandise. Anyway, cut to the alley, and Dale's talking about Joseph's girl boy party. And he's saying, Hank's trying to play along as if his son is the son.
Yeah, he's like, well, you're going to have parental supervision if my Bobby's there. And Dale just goes, hey. yeah, dude.
Yeah, it's, goddamn, my cat's making my life hell.
Murray, cut it the fuck out.
He really has no chill when I'm podcasting.
Murray has no chill when you're working, bro.
For real.
He said that in school that the girls were crazy for him. They called him Ricardo Montalban.
Yeah, which is the guy from
Con.
Yeah. Oh, it's Con. That's crazy because
that's Con, bro. And it's the guy from Fantasy Island.
And Con is Con. It's an anagram for Hank, as I think we discussed.
Yes, as we have discussed. That guy was around. Ricardo Montalban was in musicals and stuff in the 50s. Uh-huh. He had a 70, 80 year career or some shit.
Damn.
Yeah, he was around forever and ever, and he was a heartthrob. And then he was a joke. People made fun of him later on in his career because of Fantasy Island and stuff. But he used to be it was a Rico Suave thing. I guess that's why he said he was a heartthrob, you know? So
that's interesting.
That's why they called Hank Ricardo Montalban.
There are a lot of actors from that era who had more their career got less serious over time. And you kind of forget they were really classically trained and stuff. Like how Raul Julia's last movie is fucking Street Fighter.
Yeah.
The Addams Family and shit.
Yeah.
So Dale is saying, there's not going to be any hanky-panky at my house. And then as he says this, John Redcorn rolls up in his Jeep and drops off Nancy, his wife.
Yeah, to go inside and get booze and come back out and hop in the Jeep and drive away.
Oh, that rules.
Did you notice that's what happens in the background?
No, that's really funny.
He doesn't drop her off. She comes back out with a fucking bag full of liquor bottles and jumps in the Jeep and they peel out.
Oh, that rules. It's so cool.
There's not going to be any hanky-panky in my house. He's smoke a cigarette, and his wife is going to get boinked by his son's father.
Yeah. It's funny. He's he's being a real wholesome dad here because he's really stoked about there being a boy-girl party. But he also
he's being kind of cute about it. They let him use the basement, which is weird because it's Dale's basement. You know, he's got to have cleaned up some of his nefarious plans or plots. whatever he had like hidden down there so that they could all hang out.
Yeah. Man, Dale really reminds me of my friend Rio's dad growing up down the street. He was like exactly like this, like really always trying to like kind of to encourage everyone into like, hey, you going to any boy girl parties, you know, but in a cute way, like he's doing. It was.
Yeah. Come on. It's time to start thinking about the dance.
Yeah. Hank is. Oh, this is a fun detail. I enjoyed it. Usually they're all kind of standing in the alley in that formation. This time it's one of the times that Hank is sitting on his riding mower while everyone else is standing around him.
Yeah. And
that's what he says, the Ricardo Montalban thing. And then next, there is a scene at the breakfast table where Hank's like kind of trying to joke with Bobby about like, you know, catching cooties from girls. And Bobby has been sex educated by the government, much to Hank's chagrin. So he says,
he goes, what do you mean, chlamydia? And Peg is like, what are you two talking about?
Yeah, she offers him a juice box.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know if I want to go to the party anymore. She's like, that's fine, Bobby. Would you like a juice box?
Because she wants him to still be a baby.
Yeah, and Hank thinks it's time for him to like step up and start like practicing, or like, you know, getting the hang of being around girls. And then he does this Jeff Foxworthy line.
Oh yeah. So
you go. Sorry.
There's a couple of things lead up to it. So Luann goes.
I know. I just read it and it stopped. Okay.
It's so funny.
Okay, let's keep going. You go.
Luann says parties are fun. You get to touch dance and stuff like that. And then Bobby goes, "What if I get felt up?" It's there's always this clear implication that he like took sex ed at school, but like all the stuff they targeted at the girls he took and didn't understand. Yeah.
I was gonna say, like, he didn't differentiate. He thought it was just across the board. I'm a little afraid of being a slut.
Yeah, like that thing.
Yeah.
And then when he says, what if you felt up, Luann goes, you just need practice. And then Hank goes, Luann's right. You think Jeff Foxworthy just woke up one day and took some funny pills? Because he's saying you need practice, like just flirting with girls and stuff, I guess.
Yeah. That's amazing.
And of course, like, Hank loves Jeff Foxworthy. Yes. Bobby is now at school and, Luann's at school.
Luann's back at beauty school, and they're doing their final exams. And I wrote this line down because it's so funny. It's their final exams. They have to do a practice head, and the mean teacher goes, "Mr. Hernandez, hand them their heads."
This is so weird.
She's like, "You're going to need to practice on this head and use your other one, Miss Platter."
Yeah.
She's like a fucking bit.
It starts with her like that thing where a scene starts and the person is wrapping up like a thing we didn't hear, and she's saying, and this is like part of her lecture, and that's why blondes don't actually have more fun. Just like part of the beauty school curriculum apparently,
because it burns.
Now Bobby's at school and there's this like montage of him in the hallway and going to his locker and stuff. And all the girls are just like becoming giants.
Yeah, it's very Lynchian.
Yeah, it's real
like big
weird.
Groping hands with like bright nail polish and like perfume clouds.
He like keeps getting sprayed with hairspray and stuff.
Yeah, and body spray, like Bath and Body Works body spray.
And like the girl at the locker next to him has like, you know, there's like top lockers and bottom lockers.
Well, they're all tall. Or
yeah.
He's little and they're all huge.
And he like drops all his stuff, and it's just like a whole like nightmare scenario.
Yeah, it's like a whirlwind, like Alice in Wonderland, like no girls kind of thing.
But then Connie comes along. She says, "Hey, Bobby, you want to eat?" And he tells her he's not going to the party. Or she says she's not going to the party because her dad won't let her be around boys until she's married. And then he's like, yeah, I don't want to get partied out. So he sort of says he's not going. He sort of waffles back and forth the whole episode of whether he's going or not. At home, he's kind of decided he doesn't want to go. Hank comes up on him and goes, which bolo tie do you want to wear to the party? There's like a cow skull and some other skull.
Yeah.
Bobby's like, I don't like girls. And when Bobby says that, Hank gets really intense. It says, Peg, close the screen door. Peggy then says, you know, Hank, can I speak with you in the kitchen? Because he's getting really angry and she needs to like sort of diffuse the situation with him.
Yeah.
And Hank goes, this better be about dinner because it's in the kitchen. So they start arguing about whether it's okay for him to be forcing this sort of thing on Bobby, or she's saying he's just a late bloomer. And Hank goes, why don't you just drive him out to Hollywood and put, or wait, no, she goes, why don't you, Peggy goes, why don't you just drive him out to Hollywood and put him on the dating game?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Is this when the head comes in, when Luann brings the head in?
Yeah, it's right after Peggy says, do you know anyone who would like a hot fudge sundae to him?
Oh yeah, really intensely. To Bobby. Do you know anybody who'd like a hot fudge sundae? And she like walks away. She's like, it's okay, baby boy.
Yeah. And then Luann shows up with the head and she says, this is my chance to prove to everyone it doesn't matter that I wasn't paying attention. She rules so hard.
It's like the Dreamweaver scene in Wayne's World when Wayne sees Cassandra. That's how it is with this plastic head for Bobby.
Yeah,
he falls in love with this head.
He starts to fixate on the head, and he's like playing a Game Boy, but he's looking at the head the whole time, and. Peggy, at one point, she's got like her like I'm cleaning the house bandana babushka thing on her head. And she says she's going to the mall because they have like a sale on some generic fucking thing. I can't remember what it was. Some Peggy Hill ass thing. And she says, come on, Bobby Vamanos. And he's started to devise a plan here, though. He goes, I can't. I just remembered there's a documentary about like Jesus on PBS or something. She's like, oh, you better watch that. And
so now he's got the house all to himself
and he's alone with the head
and so he's alone with the head. And so, it's like, let's describe this head for everyone. So it's one of the practice heads that you get from beauty school, but it's not like the styrofoam one with a wig on it. It's got hair implanted into the head. And it's like, usually they're covered in like linen or like some sort of stretched cloth and have like a wooden base. So they're like really nice, but you can actually cut and color and style the hair on it.
Yeah.
It's not like a plastic wig. It's like, they're like really expensive. And it's like her whole final exam. And now Bobby's in love with it and wants to kiss it.
It's real intense, real weird. I think the exam is she's supposed to like study it and then she cuts its hair like at school or something. It's also fucking weird looking. It's
they're like really like off-putting because they usually have faces too.
Yeah.
Which like why would you put a face on it? Just like make it flat. Like just like, make it like a putty like in the Power Rangers, remember?
Oh yeah, they just had
those guys had no faces. That's how I would like the head that I'm cutting the hair on. If it's not a person, I don't want it to have a face.
They kind of had the Green Man suit from "It's Always Sunny" kind of thing going.
Oh, very much. It was just that, but gray.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he starts practicing like hitting on girls on the head. He like starts talking to it and stuff.
Yeah, and he pulls out the chair for it and sets it down, and then he pushes the chair in and it knocks the head over. I love when they just do little physical bits. Yeah. Oh, it was really funny. Yeah, he like pulls it out, sets her down, pushes it in, and it falls over. It's really well timed.
He starts dancing to salsa music around it.
And yeah, well, he's like, it's like he's like becoming a man. Like he's like finding his sexuality with this, like with this head. But he's like doing all the stuff that like when people start to fall in love or something, you know, they're like listen and dance to like salsa music or like, you know, stuff like that. But it's just Bobby and the plastic white female.
Yeah, Lady Bird like kind of stares at him uncomfortably while this is all happening because she's like still in the house.
The dog's there.
At one point, he has the grape juice that I think from earlier, and he's drinking like grape juice while talking to the head. I think kind of as a stand-in for like drinking wine with someone.
Yeah.
There's like some weird cheap animation errors in this though. At one point when the family comes home and he's drinking like grape juice with the head, the juice turns into a Alamo beer for a second. I think it's like a mistake. It's weird.
I fucking saw that. And I thought at for a second, I was like, wait, is he like drinking beer now? Cause he's like old and ready to fuck. Like, what? I don't know. And then I was like, oh, the beer's gone.
Yeah. I don't know. Again. It's weird. The beer kind of threw me too, because the whole time I was thinking about this,
I thought it was like part of the plot. Like he was getting caught, like drinking a beer, making out with the plastic head. Like yeah. He was going all in. Like he was going to learn how to party, you know?
I kind of like my brain went there because the whole time this episode is making me think a lot about like those documentaries about guys that order those like sex dolls and they're just like, this is my girlfriend or whatever.
Yeah. The guy that was really into pool inflatables.
I don't know that one.
Did you not see that one? That one's crazy. I'll send it to you.
Okay. I gotta watch it.
Yeah, he's like in love with this like big whale.
But also Jeffrey Dahmer kind of did this, and I think that's like where they go with the Peggy plot line here eventually. Uh-huh. Jeffrey Dahmer like took home a mannequin from a store he worked at and got caught with the mannequin, and he also drank hella beer, so that's just like the connection I made watching that. But I don't think it was supposed to be a beer. I think it was just an animation error.
Yeah, I think it was a frame that they forgot to switch out or something.
Yeah. Next scene in the alley, all the guys are in the alley. Hank shows up late and he says, I overslept because my dang hair is too long.
It's rustling.
It's the rustling on my pillow to keep me up all night.
And dude, if I have not been kept awake by my hair, you know, like I absolutely have.
Have you really?
I've just been like, stop moving. I can't not listen to you. You're attached to me.
There's something I need to interject here. Real weird. Another animation glitch error thing.
Okay.
There's a brief shot of Dale with gray hair. It's really unnerving.
Is it when he flips his glasses up?
Something like that. It's in this scene. I wrote down.
I noticed something weird with his head, but I didn't. But I thought it was the glasses. I was paying attention to the glasses. I'm gonna watch it again.
Don't watch it a third time. You're crazy. it reminded me of like the early Simpsons episodes when Smithers would be black, but like in one frame or something, and then he goes back to not being black and stuff like that. Or, they would just switch people's, like, hair color and shit. Milhouse's dad's hair is black for a second or whatever. Yeah. Anyway, Luann is goading him some more. She's saying, come on, let me trim it. And Hank is saying, no, I love my long, long hair. Obviously lying. Bill, who also is a barber professionally. Yeah. I don't know if that fact has been introduced yet in the show.
Yeah, he was a military barber.
This might be the first time you find out about it, but he's a barber at the Air Force base or whatever, the fucking military base. So he says, hey, there's a bunch of new recruits. You can practice on the new recruits. I'm working on my bill.
That's good.
Thank you. And Dale's like, nobody cares, Bill. But actually is a good idea. So she goes down there and she practices.
He always has good ideas and kind advice.
Yeah, people just shut
the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Boomhauer says nothing in this episode, by the way.
Yeah, it's crazy.
He just stands there. He doesn't even do any dangle dangs. Like, he doesn't add at all. I don't think he speaks one line.
That is bananas.
Yeah.
Luann practices on a private and gives this person who I think you slowly kind of realize is like a young man. She gives it this guy a perfect women's haircut and it's like doing a really good job, and then Bill's like, that's a great job, and he shaves it off
yeah.
Which is actually a really good idea.
She can do anything she wants to their hair because he's gonna have to take it all off.
Yeah, that's like a brilliant solution to the problem.
It's a great idea, Bill. I think it's great, Bill.
So, next scene, they're at the breakfast table again, and Bobby is wearing a tie because he's back on board, I think, to go to this fucking party. And Hank says, "You look great. You look like a weatherman."
But he's wearing shorts.
Right.
And penny loafers. Yeah. He's wearing like little tasseled penny loafers and shorts.
And he's drinking skim milk to slim down.
Yeah. Before the party.
So Hank says he's proud of him. Bobby goes, I'm proud of you too, Dad. Bye. And Hank says to Peggy, see, our boy is perfectly normal. And then he's like, wow, okay, he's totally normal. Like, he's dressed up, he's into girls now and stuff. He has no idea the reason this is all happening is revealed in the next scene, which is a montage of Bobby and Ahead set to the Beach Boys. Wouldn't it be nice?
Yeah, they're in love.
So it's like the same settings from the nightmare montage. They're at the lockers. But everything's cool. Everything's going well. He's like pushing the head on a swing. They're laying in the grass, looking at clouds. And he's pointing out.
He kicks the door open, like pushes the door open with his foot, and the head is there. Like waiting for him. That's so funny. It's like, da-doom. Wouldn't it be nice? The door opens and the head is there. The most iconic beginning to any song ever.
Yeah.
It's a plastic head.
That's such a funny montage song.
I'm really glad they picked it. Yeah. The Beach Boys are my favorite, and it's just such a sincere, beautiful song. I love it in this context, Jake.
Yep.
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 That's why we do this, you know.
Bobby's wearing. He's got his mojo.
I ran out of
right?
room on my census form.
It's okay. I got the rest of it.
Okay. I took notes on a census form, guys, because I lost my notebook. It's in the car somewhere.
Yeah, that's so funny. They sent you a paper census form.
Yeah, in a FedEx overnight.
That's crazy.
They really wanted me to read it.
You should send it back in with all this shit written on it.
With all this notes? It just says, Ricardo Montalban.
I'm a single white female named Ricardo Montalban.
I'm a single plastic white female named Ricardo Montalban. Bills, bills, bills.
Bills.
Heat miser.
That's your occupation.
Con. That is real. Fucked up scratch notes. Oh man.
So okay. He's wearing the tie and like a button down and shit. And he's at school and he's like doing finger guns at people and saying stuff like, he says, "Yo, Cherise, you stone cold fox, what's up?" And Joseph is like, "You're going to be the most popular guy at my party." They're all excited.
I love how supportive Joseph is of Bobby. Like, yeah. Bobby's so clearly like a little like nerd boy in comparison to the rest of the school. But like to Joseph, he's like the fucking best thing since sliced bread, dude.
Yeah.
Joseph loves Bobby.
It's so cute.
It's so sweet. He's like, "Wow, man, you're going to be the coolest dude at the party." And he looks like fucking the little Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah, he's or a
like Clifford. He looks like Clifford.
That's an important thing about Bobby, right? Is that in a scene like this, he isn't objectively cool. He just thinks he's cool. He has to believe that he's cool. And this is the sort of shit. He
believes it. And so does Joseph.
But like
this sort of shit
is what makes him think cool. You know, he's completely delusionally disconnected from the rest of the school. No, nobody's actually going like, "Wow, look at that guy."
Yeah, from the outside, he's wearing shorts and penny loafers and a bolo tie, and he's sexually harassing people in the hallway.
Yeah.
And Joseph's like, "Wow, man."
So now back at home, Bobby's in like a Hugh Hefner robe, and he's got a ketchup bottle, and he's got the head, and like there's piano music playing, and he's sitting down to play spin the bottle and practice that with the head.
Mm-hmm.
Say it. No. This is a PG podcast.
Sucking and fucking.
That's what Peggy thinks is happening, because she comes home with groceries. She needs help with the groceries, and she's walks like, in on him.
And she walks smooching.
Yeah, and she fucking screams, and he screams and starts panting and shit, or she starts panting and shit. They both are like, "Ah!"
I noticed that she screams. He screams. They scream together. She slams the door. She turns around holding two paper bags, like classic paper grocery bags, like with the carrots sticking out and shit. Yeah. And she's like, she's like having a fucking panic attack. Because Bobby is kissing the head.
She's real freaked out by this.
I get why they needed Peggy to react that way to like be different than like Hank's perspective or whatever, but like I just don't think she would actually react that way. Like, it just doesn't seem like that big of a deal. It seems like a very normal thing.
Right. Here's my take, right? It's twofold. One of the folds is that she's just like a mother and she's sad that her kid is like going through puberty, right? But the other one, I think, is that like it's sort of the 90s and housewives are watching true crime and stuff, and there's like this weird undertone of like,
and Ricky Lake.
Yeah.
And Sally, like, Jesse Raphael. Yeah.
And like, she might have heard about Jeffrey Dahmer and his mannequin and stuff like that. Cause she starts to like that. She sort
thinks
of,
he's like a kink freak or something.
Yeah. Like a deranged, like he's like got a,
later on she says that they have to move to Berlin.
Right. Yeah.
Because people are more accepting there. So yeah, that the serial killer thing kind of checks out.
Yeah. I think that she's got like a totally like
it's just like panic.
Yeah, she's got a 90s moral panic thing going on.
Yeah.
So Hank goes, she's talking to Hank now, and Hank goes, "Maybe he just fell on it." And at first, Hank is in denial. He goes, and then he goes, it's not your fault. And Peggy goes, "Well, I know it's not my
fault."
Right. Because she's still got like a Peggy Hill ego thing.
Yeah.
So she's
that was very well voiced. I like it was just me like snapping back saying that to me. I was like, hell yeah, Peggy, fucking tell him.
You channeled her for sure.
I do. Every day of my life, I channel Peggy.
Maybe a little glimpse of the future, huh?
No. It's only in the accent. I try to do the opposite of the way she lives her life.
Peggy says, I know it's not my fault. If anything, it's your fault. because you took him to that camp with no toilet doors. and then Hank is... I don't know. I can't remember who says what, but they're both sort of accusing each other of stuff. He's saying, you let him play with Muppets. You got, or you let him watch that show with the Muppets. They got frogs kissing pigs on that show. So they do all this like hilarious 90s moral outrage stuff where they think like, you know, TV and weird toilets and stuff are turning the kids gay and stuff like that. And Peggy says that we'll move to Berlin. They're, culture tolerates all kinds of freaks, and
she just calls him a freak.
Yeah.
That's the exact line. We'll just have to move to Berlin. They tolerate all kinds of freaks. About her little son.
Yeah, so Hank decides, he says he's got, I'm gonna cut them apron strings, because he's decided also that he's a freak, but it's happening because he was like over mothered or whatever.
Yeah.
So Hank, now knowing what's happening in Bobby's room, he sort of does the thing where he's approaching from far away and yelling, I am coming down the hallway.
Bobby, your mother and I are coming down the hallway. And he goes like, clomp, 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 clomp. And then they knock on the door, rap, rap, rap. And then he opens it really slowly and Peggy is turned around.
Yeah. and then they're in the car. The next scene, Hank is going, he's talking to Bobby. He's going, look, I'm as open-minded as the next guy, but most states won't let you marry a plastic head.
That was weird to me. Like Hank's, is he saying he's down with that?
I guess.
That's what he said.
He does. He says, I'm as open-minded as the next guy.
I'm as open-minded as the next guy, but they're not going to let you marry that plastic head, Bobby. Look, Bobby, I understand love is love.
And Bobby goes, I just don't want to look like an idiot when I kiss my first girl. And Hank goes, you're kissing a plastic head and you're worried about looking like an idiot? Hank goes, you're using it as a crutch. And Bobby goes, it's not a crutch. It's something. It's not a crutch. It's something I've come to rely on to get through life.
That one made me laugh really hard.
This is all happening as Hank is like putting it on top of a cabinet where Bobby can't reach it because he's short.
Yeah.
It's just funny.
He puts it up in the liquor cabinet.
Yeah.
And locks it.
Bobby ends up breaking into the cabinet though. Hank gets up, yells
with
at him.
With a fork or a knife or something?
Something weird like that.
Yeah.
And Hank says, now that's it. Now it's time for tough love. And he takes the head. Well, go ahead.
Hold on real quick. It does one of those weird animation things that they do sometimes where it's like this strange angle from the foot of the bed. And it's just Hank's head from like his mouth up. And he does like a squinty, angry anime eye thing.
That's so weird. Because
he hears the cabinet and he hears Bobby bustling around. It's like a shot of the bed with Peggy in it and Hank is gone. And then Hank comes into the frame and his eye is like twitching. It's really weird.
This is a weird ass episode.
Yeah.
So Hank takes the head. He says, now it's time for tough love. So he's decided to stop being soft on Bobby. And he's like, no, I'm going to do Hank Hill shit here. And he puts the head on a fucking buzz saw.
Yeah, he puts it on the table saw. And Luann comes out screaming, blood-curdling screams because it's her final project. And Hank pushes it through the saw, and she's like, "Uncle Hank, no!" And Hank pushes it through, and she goes, "That was my final project!" And he just smiles.
He looks like the emoji that's like kind of cringing.
The one with the all the teeth. Yeah, yeah. He's like, "Whoops." sorry.
The next scene is the final exam, and the reveal is that because Hank fucked up Luann's like final project, he has to be the head, and you know, he needs a haircut anyway because his hair's keeping him up. So he gets a pretty bad haircut from Luann, right? And yeah. His teacher, sort of like, or her teacher, you know, yells at her and sort of dresses her down and shit and says, "You failed." She writes an F on Hank's head, which is really funny. Yeah. And Hank goes, "What a bitch."
Yeah. Like under his breath. What a bitch.
Yeah, it's fun when he's like, he's being an ally to Luann and he gets like catty like that.
Like, when I he's like it.
Girlfriend, get my keys. And they went to get ice cream.
the cookie dough ice cream.
Anyway, so what happens?
Well, Hank stands up and he starts telling Luann, like, he's trying to console her, but I don't think she actually gave him a bad haircut. I think she gave him like a pretty standard haircut and he likes it. And the lady is just like overgrading.
Right, because his haircut is a bad haircut. And so he's like,
"Yeah,
no.
It's not a nice haircut. Yeah, it's just a high and tight." But he was like, "I've got bumps in my head here and here." And he takes the marker that the lady used to mark up his head and he draws the circles on the bumps. And she's like, "Yeah, tapered on the downslopes and layered on the upslopes," or whatever the fuck she says. And then the lady is the evil teacher. Her heart is melted because she realizes that the customer was satisfied. And that's the number one tenet of a barber.
Yeah. Right? She says,
satisfaction.
She says, "I was on a power trip of running the academy." But when she says, "No, actually, you know what? You did the number one tenet, which is please customer." There's a slow clap moment. So it's
the whole class, they're like, "You passed." It's like not a normal slow clap. Like, it doesn't actually start.
Now back at home, Bobby is making like smooch sounds at Ladybird, like you do to a dog. That's just a thing mm-hmm. people do at dogs for some reason. Peggy walks by though and is like, "Oh no."
She's on high alert. She's like, "He's, oh God, he's gonna have sex with Lady Bird." Yeah.
He's now wearing a bolo tie, and Peggy says, "Your father told me you were just kissing the head for practice. Now, I know he told me that to protect me, but I am your mother, and I have decided that I am going to love you no matter what. I am just as much to blame for your condition as the media and the devil."
Fuck. Yeah, so we were right.
Yeah. Yeah. Go to the party.
The media and the devil.
Yeah, it's easy to forget sometimes that these are like caricatures of crazy Texas suburban people.
Yeah, because they like are sound sometimes. Like, makes sense. And then they remind us that they're like Bible people. Yeah. Those New Testament types.
Oh yeah. She says, "Go to the party, spread your wings and fly away." And she says this like kind of, she's kneeling down, holding his hand, and he's like, "Okay." And he goes to run off and she won't let go of his hand.
Yeah. Go. Holding him as tight as she can.
Oh man.
So then he goes to the party. Oh wait, first he goes outside of the party.
He's walking up to the party. You see balloons.
Yeah, everybody's arriving, and he's nervous.
Yeah. Connie rolls by on the bike, and she goes, "Hey, aren't you going to the party?" or he goes, hey, aren't you going to the party to her? And she says, I can't, it's a makeout, or he says, I can't, it's a makeout party. And my dad took away my plastic head. Connie like starts showing her that she's been practicing too. She's been practicing kissing on her hand. And then Connie says, hey, let's practice on each other. Right. And they kiss each other. And it's like his first kiss. It's their first kiss. Yeah,
she says she wants it to be really sweet and something she can keep with her forever. And then he's like, let's practice. And he's like, wait, you want to kiss? She's like, no, just practice. But it is their first kiss.
Yeah, it's really cute how they don't even realize it.
It is cute. And then they're like, bye. Because they don't like each other yet.
Yeah, and they like don't even realize that they're like
dating. What happened? Now. Yeah, she just goes, okay, bye, and like gets on her bike and rides away. And then he goes down into the basement, and all of the kids are dressed like little like country kids when they go to the dance or something, you know?
Yeah.
Like everybody's got pearl snaps on, and like, but they're all still wearing shorts.
Yeah, and they're busting out Spin the Bottle. Mm-hmm. And
what's the bottle? I can't remember.
I don't remember either.
It's red, but I can't remember what the label was.
Ketchup, like he was playing with earlier.
Oh, it is ketchup. Yep.
I don't know why they always spin a ketchup bottle. That's weird.
I guess they decided not to use, because like it's a liquor bottle normally, but I guess because they're little kids.
Yeah, like they don't have one.
They use ketchup. The liquor for children. I mean, it kind of is, man. Kids love that shit. My nieces and nephews are gaga for ketchup, and I've always hated it. Are you a ketchup fan?
I like it, but I'm kind of aware that it's bad. Like I
only like it. It's all sugar, but I only like it on chicken strips.
I can't do chicken strips with that. I got to do honey mustard with chicken strips, man.
Well, I love every sauce of the chicken strip. I wouldn't ever solely do ketchup unless it was the only option. But I would, but I don't like ketchup on fries or tater tots or eggs.
Fries is like the only thing I really like it with.
I like barbecue sauce the most.
I also like ketchup on a hot dog, which people are very angry about. I know it's very unsettling. I'm not angry.
I just didn't expect that.
Your voice raised immediately, though, which is the correct response, I think. Most people.
I mean, I was shocked and upset, but I'm not mad. Is what I'm saying.
I appreciate.
I'm not mad at you. I'm just like, what the fuck? I thought I knew you. You know.
I understand.
Country together.
Yeah. Well, I guess we didn't ever stop for a hot dog.
We walked through the desert together, and you didn't tell me about the ketchup on the hot dogs.
Yeah, I know, man. I didn't think you'd want to finish the tour, but did.
Yep.
Anyway,
I'm gonna send you a selection of mustards.
I would love that.
Okay, I'm doing it.
I love sauces. That's one thing I'll tell you about me.
I'm going to send you some sauces. All right. Get you off this fucking ketchup shit. It's for babies, Jake.
I like ketchup and mustard on a hot dog and other shit. I like
together like a fucking Getty image.
Yeah. This is good.
It's good.
All right, let's finish. We're so close.
Okay, let's go.
Dale busts in the room. He goes, why is it so quiet down here? And
Dale and Nancy.
Yeah. And
Nancy sort of, doesn't say anything.
They're implied to be arguing with each other. And he says to Nancy, you can't just leave them alone down here. They'll start doing hanky panky. All that sugar is something he says. It like works them up. And as this is happening, they're playing Spin the Bottle. Bobby has spun and it lands on Nancy. And then the weirdest fucking way to end the first season of a TV show like this ever happens.
He gets transfixed when it lands on her. And it's like one of those scenes. It's like what I texted you earlier. It's like they forget that it's not live action.
It's like in Twin Peaks when Bob is like stalking around. He's going to kill someone or something.
Yeah. And he gets transfixed. He sees the bottle land on Nancy. Everybody's kind of like yelling and like talking around him, you know?
Yeah.
And then he – or it's like a Seinfeld episode too. They would do this.
Yeah.
Like where everything would be like really loud and someone would be screaming one thing, or like Kramer would be focused on like lunging at something, you know, or like the tamales. Yeah. Like, but like he lunges at Nancy through the air and it animates, like they animate Bobby like in his little butt and his little legs. Like flying over the circle of people into Nancy, and she's like, no.
And then it's just credits.
Yeah, he's gonna smooch her.
Yeah, but he's like kind of like
built it. I think he's like built it up so much over the episode, and it's his turn and it lands and he just can't help it.
But it's like a little assaulty. Like it's
it
like,
is. He's well, gonna... he literally jumps on her.
Yeah, that's weird.
And then
as hell,
it just
man.
Ends, and there's no little end credit scene.
Right, that's just it. Season one.
Yeah, that was it.
Please renew our TV show.
Yeah, so that's season one.
Well, I'm fucking crazy, man.
Wait, man, that's pretty good. Good job, Jake.
Thanks. That's it. That's single plastic. Plastic white female. Sorry. Plastic white female.
Yeah. Single plastic white female. No one will date me because I'm plastic. I'm so lonely.
All right. Yo, listen to my other podcast, Pod Damn America, if you're a communist or something. And listen to my other one, Why You Mad, if you like being mad about comedy and stuff.
And listen to my episodes of Jake's podcast if you like being mad.
Oh, yeah.
And annoyed.
That's right.
That's right.
And follow me on Twitter at Feral Jokes and all that shit. I put up my shows in there, on there. I live in L.A. now. I'll do shows in L.A. And also I'm doing some shows all around the rest of the country coming up pretty soon. I'm coming
you
to
are?
Lafayette. Yep. I'm on something called
Lafayette's the best.
Couillon Comedy Festival, which means the fool in Creole, I think.
Uh-huh.
Couillon.
Le Couillon.
Yeah. John Merrifield yeah. runs that.
Who?
John Merrifield. He's cool.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Very
lad.
Fun.
Delightful. You got anything else?
Yeah. Well, listen to my record, but I'm filming a special on 420.
Nice.
I finally have the date, and for Moon Tower, I am on Moon Tower.
I am on Moon Tower,
and I'm gonna film an hour at Moon Tower at Cap City on 420. They gave me the choice of the 18th or the 20th. I said, "What do you think?"
Nice. Good luck with your Moon Hour.
Thank you very much, and you guys, I'm gonna make a movie with it, so look out for all that shit.
Cool.
But that's all I have. And listen to this podcast.
Oh, and listen to our Patreon. We are
and
doing,
our Patreon.
King of the Hill fan fiction. It's real fucking weird back there. It's a lot of fun. Sign up at patreon.com/IDKYpod.